Thanks for listening to the Voice Church podcast. We are a new, life-giving, multi-ethnic church located in Orange County, California. We meet every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. in Tustin. For more information, check out our social media or our website at www.voice.church. And now, let's tune in to this week's message.
All right. Go ahead and wrap up your conversations. You can have a seat. So we actually have a middle school small group that meets during service. So if you're in middle school right now, you see JJ right here, the happy, just joyful person jumping around. Just follow JJ right through here. Says Voice Church Youth right above the door. And middle schoolers, you can go ahead and be dismissed into your small group with JJ. It's going to be a blast. Don't be scared. JJ's awesome. You're going to have fun. Yeah, it'll be good. Thanks. Love you guys. Have a great time. Aren't they cute? Aren't they the cutest? I get to be with them every other week, and they're just literally the cutest. So, I mean, they're the coolest. they're the coolest. I love them. So, yeah, guys, welcome. So glad you're here. If I have not had the chance to meet you yet, my name is Natalie, and I work here. And I would love to get to meet you in person. I email with a lot of people, and it's like so fun when I actually get to meet you in person. I work with Nin sometimes on our connection stuff, and so fun just to like actually see your face. So if you've been emailing with me but I haven't talked to you, come and say hi to me. I'd love to meet you afterwards. But I'll share with you my little 30-second question answer. So my nickname, it's really dumb. It's Natty Bird. I don't know. I do know why. It's dumb. Really, it's really dumb. But when I was younger, I had like really skinny little bird legs. And so my whole family would always be like, just call me. Like first it was Natty and then it was like Bird. So Natty Bird. Anyways, stupid. Anyways, not relevant at all to what we're talking about today. We're actually in the middle of a series called Letters from John. And John is... basically, he was one of Jesus' really good friends. He calls himself the Beloved. He's a very humble guy, but he writes about himself as being God's or Jesus' beloved friend. And so he actually wrote a couple of letters to the church after Jesus passed away. And actually, we're going to focus on one of them today. We're going to be reading in 1 John. And he is writing some letters to the church because really similarly to today, they were going through a time where there was a ton of misinformation being spread around about the gospel and who Jesus really was. And so, like I said, it's really not too different from what we're experiencing today, right? Really, kind of all throughout history, this is something that we've faced. And all throughout history, the narrative has to keep getting corrected because sometimes we just keep getting it wrong. I don't know what it is, but it's just human nature. I feel like people get their own agendas, they get things they want to do, and they take the gospel and they try to twist it to mean whatever they need it to mean for that time. And so John is like, we better kind of nip that in the bud real fast. If you see, like, obviously back then, anytime you get any kind of misinformation, it's amazing how quickly it spreads, right? I mean, they didn't have social media, so probably slower than it is today. It's like, I feel like in 2 days, you can have like half of the world believing a crazy something, you know? And so... luckily, he was able to get to it quicker because, well, I don't know about quicker, but yeah. They had to, like, go on camels and foot and stuff, so couldn't have gone that far that fast. But, you know, still, he had to nip it in the bud before things got crazy. And so I think one of the reasons that this is so important for us today is because I think especially when the gospel gets twisted up with fear, and I think that's what we're seeing a lot right now. The gospel can get really twisted up with fearful agendas. I think what ends up happening is that people don't want to be a part of that. Like, why would I want to be a part of something that's fearful? When you're living in fear, you know, when you're living in fear, you're often, like, closed off. When you're living in fear, you're a lot more protective. You're a little more aggressive. Instead of being loving, we're actually, like, closing up our fists and being, you know, ready for a fight, right? And the gospel should not cause us to feel like we need to protect ourselves or fight. The gospel is open, it's open arms. Everyone in, right? The gospel should be full of hope and life for us. But sometimes people are like protecting themselves from other people. They're building walls in relationships instead of letting people into their life. And so we have to be really careful not to let false gospels rule us. So we need to be really careful that we're talking about the true gospel. And so the reason is obviously when everything gets mixed up, we're sending a confusing message about who Jesus is and what his purpose in this world is and really who we are and what our purpose in this world is. And I don't know about you, but I need hope. I don't need fear in my life. You guys don't need fear in your life. We need hope. A lot of people more than ever are facing just feelings of hopelessness and despair. And what they need is to know the truth of the gospel, that there is hope for us, that there is joy for us, that there is freedom from us in Christ. It's not a shutting out. It's not a protecting. It's open arms. It's full of love. And so we just live in this world where everyone has an opinion. And I think sometimes it can be really overwhelming, the messages that are coming into us about what's going on in the gospel. I see crazy stuff online all the time. So how many of you guys have seen like so-called experts on TikTok with their, you know, they have no credentials and they're probably 21, but they know everything about life. And they are giving you all the advice about what you should believe, right? No offense if you're 21. I'm sure you're wise for your age. But I'm not going to probably be seeking your advice for my life as a 40, almost 41-year-old woman. I'm going to be seeking a more eternal truth, okay? I want to hear from people who are experts, people who know what they're talking about, right? And so we have to be really wise about what we allow into our minds. We have to be really careful about that. And we have to look past the surface and ask, what is right? What is true? What does God say is true? Because a lot of the things that we hear right now, a lot of the false gospels that we're hearing, even from well-meaning Christians, are really just veiled versions of like self-righteousness, self-worship, and self-reliance. And that is the opposite of the gospel. So, you know, these things we hear a lot, they're gonna give us really big promises, but they come up short all the time. And so, like I said, our culture is obsessed with mental health. And so I want to talk about how when we submit our thoughts, when we're thinking right, when we are being presented with the truth, how the gospel actually brings us hope and healing even for our thoughts and our mind. And so today we're going to unwrap the gospel from some of the misinformation that we might have heard about it. And so John was talking about false gospels, and so we're going to focus on that today. I'm going to try my best to make the gospel clear to you today. And not just that, but I want to talk to you about the big ideas about what that means for us as Christians and how we should live. So I'm talking to two people, really. Well, a few people. I'm talking to people maybe who you've heard about the gospel, you've heard about Jesus, but maybe you don't really know what it means, and it hasn't really looked that appealing to you. So I'm hoping that today we can provide you some hope and that you'll see that God really is good. He really is loving. He really is full of freedom. It's not this closed off life. It's not this restrictive life that people make it out to be. It's open. It's free. It's full of love. And the others are Christians, because if we are not representing the gospel well, then maybe we have been following the wrong gospel. And so I think it's important for us to look at how we're living. So we're going to talk a little about that today. And we're going to, like I said, we're going to be in 1 John today. I'm going to be jumping around, so you can follow along if you want. I think it's on page 208 in those little scripture, or in the little Bibles in front of you. But really, they're all going to be up here. So you can follow along on the screens, and that's just as good. So we're going to just go ahead, and we're going to get started. So 1 John 2:15 to 17 says, "Do not love this world or the things that it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure and a craving for everything we see and pride in our achievements and possessions. And these are not from the Father, but they're from this world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does not do what pleases, anyone who does what pleases God will live forever." So his first warning is for us as Christians is to not let anything take God's place in our heart. Not let anything take God's place in our heart. So that first false gospel that we have to fight against is trying everything the world has to offer. You guys have heard about this, right? It's like, live your life to the full, try everything. Don't leave anything undone. Some of the worst advice I've ever heard, right? James 4:4 says, friendship with the world is actually hatred towards God. Now, I'm not saying, and he's not actually saying that some of these things are necessarily bad in themselves. He's not saying don't ever achieve physical pleasure or don't ever achieve, accomplishments in this life. That's not what he's saying. He's saying the word I want to focus on is don't have a craving for those things. Don't love those things more than you love God. And the word craving, obviously in itself, it means it's an insatiable hunger in you, right? When you crave something, it's like you're crazy about it, right? It doesn't make sense how much you want it, right? You know what I'm talking about? When I was pregnant with our first daughter, Brooklyn, I had some really funny cravings, and I always wanted pickle juice and Twix. And some of you probably heard this before, but when I ate the entire jar of pickles in like 2 days one time, and after that, I was saving the juice because I really wanted to drink the juice. And I know that sounds insane, but something about that juice was like, I need to have this juice. I need to have this salt and whatever. It's crazy. It didn't make any sense. So when Taka obviously saw an empty jar of pickles in the fridge and was like, I'm going to throw this away. There's no pickles left. And I opened the fridge, ready to drink my pickle juice, and it's gone. I was like, Taka, where's my pickle juice? And he was like, you're insane. Literally, you're insane. Nobody does this. So anyways, we have cravings. They have us like act crazy, right? When we want these things that don't make sense when we have these cravings, right? And so obviously pickle juice was not a complete diet for me. I wasn't wanting it because I thought it was going to give me nutrients, right? But cravings are things that come from unmet needs deep within us. Like, obviously, that was a child that needed to take from me, right? But I think it applies to our life in another way, too, because sometimes we have unmet needs in our heart, right? We haven't let God meet certain needs in our life. And we start to crave and desire to take all these other things in our life to fill that hole, to fill that void. We try to get it filled with all these other things, right? It's trying to feed off our life. But the thing is that it's not going to bring health and wholeness to our life. Just won't. No matter how much we try to have more of it. We could try more and more and more, but the more and more we try, the more empty we feel, the more hungry we feel, right? So cravings hijack the good things in our lives and suck us dry. And when we crave and we take and we take and we take, we end up affecting other people in our life, right? We don't just get to have whatever we want all the time without it affecting other people. And so our cravings cause us to take from God, others, or ourself. And that's like the definition of sin, right? Is to harm God, others, or ourself. And so one of the things he says is physical pleasures, right? Like, obviously, sex is a good thing, but it's not going to replace love in your life. Sex isn't love, right? It's a byproduct, but it's not love. Beauty, it's nice, right? It's nice to be lovely looking, but it's subjective. And the world's going to tell you one thing, and so-and-so is going to tell you another thing about what's beautiful, and your mind's going to tell you another thing. And if you try to gain beauty from someone else's perspective, you're always going to be left feeling like you're not enough. And in the end, it goes away anyways. So you spend your whole life trying to be good looking, and then it goes away. It's a fruitless endeavor. Anyways, but there's other things, right? Like things that we see. Sometimes we want what we don't have. We want other people's stuff, other people's jobs, other people's house, other people's spouse. I hope not. But, you know, it happens. It happens. And it doesn't end well, does it? But, or we have pride in our achievements, and the things that we accomplish. And that's also, it's not bad. But what good is that if there's no, if there's nothing in the end that you get to pass on? There's no ultimate good that you've passed on in the world. You just kept it for yourself. And so I've been actually, in my seminary class that I'm in right now, I've been reading this book, and it's called Healing Our Broken Humanity. And it has a really great outline of some of the false hopes that I think are really relevant today. I'm going to read you this list. I'm going to see if this identifies with any of you. It says, we worship control and power. We worship change and mobility. We worship privacy and overexposure. We worship money and prosperity. We worship accomplishments and status. We worship competition and free enterprise. We worship individuality and autonomous expression. We worship positivity and happiness. We worship utility and practicality. We worship sexuality and beauty. We worship our children and our legacy. We worship nationalism and patriotism. We worship freedom and choice. We worship safety and borders. We worship image and brand and new media. We worship experience and distraction. Yet all of this is broken and misdirected worship. It never satisfies. It hurts us. It damages the ones we love, and it wounds all those who come in our path. I don't know about you, but I read that list and I was like, a few little things in my life that I was like, ooh, maybe I do put a little bit too much power in those things in my life. Maybe I have put a little bit too much of my effort into those things in my life. So I think the question for us today is, have any of those things taken God's place in your heart? And when you look deep down, are they fulfilling you? Are they fulfilling you? Have you unknowingly been following a false gospel in your life? It happens to people who don't know Jesus, and it happens to people who know Jesus. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about how we can know the truth. So the second false gospel that we're actually talking about is, I'm going to live my truth. How many of you guys have heard that? I'm going to go live my truth. Okay. Again, terrible advice, because if I go outside and I decide today that the sky is plaid and that's my truth, it does not make the sky plaid, okay? It doesn't mean that it's true. Just because I decide it or I want it or I think it doesn't make it true. And there are universally true things. How many of you guys did Common Core in here? Thank God none of you did, because I had to try to teach my children it and I couldn't figure it out. But anyways, Common Core will tell you that there's 1,000 ways to get to the answer, right? But in the end, there's really just one answer to the math problem. It's just one answer. There is truth. And it's not just whatever you want it to be. And so if we're not careful, ideas like living your truth will tantalize you and tempt you to reject the truth of God in order to validate some of our most selfish desires. And that's the truth. Is living our truth is really about me. It's about selfishness. And so just because it feels good doesn't mean it is good or it is true. If you've eaten French fries, you can't just say, French fries are good for me. That's my truth. They're not good for you. They just aren't, okay? And so as Christians, our role is to seek God's eternal word, not trusting in new fads and trends, but to see what does God say is truth. A car does not write its own manual or install its own screws or decide what its purpose is or how it should be fixed. The creator of the car gets to do that. The creator of the car makes the manual, and that's how it is for us. Our creator created us and knows how to fix our broken places. He knows what we were created for. He knows what we need to function in life, and that's where we find truth. So why do we think we can individually decide what truth is? As the creator of you, God knows how you should operate. And so everyone else is going to have an opinion about this. But our role is to say, God, your opinion is what matters. Everyone has an opinion, but only God should have the final say in our life. And 1 John 2:27 says this, you have an anointing. You have received it from him. And his anointing remains on you. You do not need any other teacher, But as his anointing instructs you in all the essentials, all the truth, uncontaminated by darkness and lies, it teaches you this. Remain connected to him. I love that. It's simple. Remain connected to him. Because when we give him the final say, he's going to teach us what's true. He's going to teach us how to live day by day. He's going to put in our hearts truth. When we're reading scripture, when we're praying, when we're spending time in worship, he's going to reveal to us what truth is. And when we give him that final say, we talk, like I said, we are all about mental health, right? He gives us healthy thoughts, true healthy thoughts. 1 John 3, 20-23 says this, there's a sure way for us to know that we belong to the truth. Even though our inner thoughts may condemn us with storms of guilt and constant reminder of our failures, we can know in our hearts that in his presence, God himself is greater than any accusation, and he knows all the things, right? In God's presence, we can be sure that God himself is greater than any accusation. How many of you guys, half the time, the truths that you tell yourself bring you to a really dark place? Maybe we've heard some negative things from people in our life, or maybe we went through something really hard and a negative thought got planted in there. And we've been living as though it's true. We've been living in rejection. We've been living as though we can't do something that we were created to do. We've been living as unloved. But when we spend time in God's presence, he can overcome that rejection. And he tells you the truth, which is that you are loved. You are forgiven. You have a purpose. You are lovable, right? He replaces those dark and negative spirals. I call it the doom loop, right? In his presence, you can be fearless to just be who you truly are. And that is more freeing than creating your own truth, right? 1 John 4:18 says, God is love and love will never invoke fear. Perfect love expels fear, particularly the fear of punishment. And the one who fears punishment has not been completed through love. And like I said, this is the doom loop. It's when we start focusing on our fears. We start focusing on the negative thoughts that have been planted in our minds. And so when we are focusing on fear, we're going to make some of the worst decisions of our life every time. Because we're going to make decisions based on lies that we're not good enough or that we can't do something or that whatever, we don't matter in this world. But God is saying, no, you matter. I love you. You have a purpose. But when you're living in his love, you will make the best decisions. When you understand his love, you'll make great decisions because you'll know that you're covered in every way. So when we come into God's presence, he restores our mind. We know we're not alone. We're not condemned. We know we're redeemed. We know we can have victory in our life. We know that when we go through hard times, we can make it through. Because he doesn't want to punish us for our mistakes. He wants to grow us through our mistakes. That song we sang today was like perfect for this because it's like, yeah, we want God to refine us. We're not being punished when we go through hard things. We're being refined when we go through hard things. And he just asks that we have a humble heart to learn and stay open to his truth, to let him teach us what's true. The next one is, you've probably heard this. I'm going to manifest the life that I want. You guys have heard this, right? Manifest. Some of you in this room have probably said it. You have it on your social media right now, blasting it like it's the best thing ever, right? And so I'm very sorry if that's you. I wanted to share something else with you, okay? When you're saying, I can manifest my life, you are saying that God is not in control of your life. It's a rejection of him as the king and the Lord of our life. And if you're a Christian, that's one of the most anti-Jesus things you can say, is that I'm going to make my own life happen. And Jesus is saying, no, I want you to surrender your life to me. You gain your life when you hand it over to me. And 1 John 4:1-3 says, my loved ones, I warn you, do not trust every spirit. Instead, examine them carefully to determine if they come from God, because the corrupt world is filled with the voices of many false prophets. And here's how you know if it's from God's spirit. If a spirit affirms the truth that Jesus, the anointed, our liberating king, has come in human flesh, then that spirit is from God. So this is saying, if you believe that Jesus is king, you can trust that. But if you believe that you are the king of your life, you're deceived. And that's the truth, and here's why. Because you can't control your life any more than you can make rain come out of the sky, right? You can't control the circumstances in your life. You have one thing you can control, and that's you can have self-control, right? You can control your character building. You can control making good choices, but you can't control almost anything else in life. You can't control people. You can't control circumstances. You can't control the weather. You can't control what's happening like on the other side of the world right now. So why would you think that you can manifest something into the world? But I can tell you, you do know the one who can control the weather. You know the one who knows what's happening on the other side of the world. You know the one who knows what's going on in your boss's mind. You know the one who knows everything. So why wouldn't you let him be the one who guides and directs your life? Why wouldn't you let him be the one who tells you how to live? Because he's got your good in mind, and he knows everything else that's in the mix that we don't know. So why wouldn't we trust him, right? Proverbs 16, 1 to 9 says this: we can make our own plans, but the Lord gives us the right answer. And people may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. So commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. The Lord has made everything for his own purposes, even the wicked for a day of disaster. Yikes. The Lord detests the proud. They will surely be punished, but unfailing love and faithfulness make atonement for our sin. By fearing the Lord, people avoid evil. When people's lives please the Lord, even their enemies are at peace with them. So it's better to have little with godliness than to be rich and dishonest, because we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Okay, so sorry, we cannot manifest our own future. God is in control, regardless if we like it or not. And the next one is this: false gospel. Number 4, you do you, boo-boo. You've heard it, right? You do you, boo-boo. The funny thing about this is that when I'm saying this to someone, it's usually because I like gave up trying to tell them something good, right? Like someone who's like, I'm going to go do this, that, or the other thing. And I'm like, that's a terrible idea. But you know what? You do you, boo-boo, right? It's usually because I know they're going to do something stupid, and they know they're going to do something stupid too, right? That's really when this happens. But some people have taken this really too literally, right? And it's just not great advice, because the problem is that this insinuates that if you just live your life however you want to live, everything's going to work out. Everything will work out if you just do whatever you want to do. But the problem is, at some point, you're going to bump into other people in doing whatever you want to do. And what happens when that happens? Anyone who has driven on the 5 at rush hour knows that you cannot just do you, boo-boo, on the 5. You're going to run into somebody, right? You're going to run into someone. So you have to look out for people around you. You have to. Now, one of my favorite authors, his name is C.S. Lewis, and he said that one of the greatest evils in our world is individualism, aka you do you, boo-boo, right? It is one of the greatest evils in our world, because it focuses on me, 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 my preference, my agenda, what I want to do, my individuality. But if we're only focusing on ourselves, we're probably not going to have that many friends, because we're always going to be looking at ourselves all the time. Individualism focuses on me, but God's way focuses on we. Okay, individualism focuses on me, but God's way focuses on we. And it's living for the good of others. So yes, you do have unique gifts and talents, and those are beautiful. They were created by God. But you're not just, you don't have them just so you can say, I'm unique and I'm an individual. You have them so you can do good in the world. Not just so that you can do good in the world, but so you can do good in the world in tandem with other people. We're created to work together. Our good works are supposed to complement one another, and it's supposed to be for the good of everyone, not just me, not just what I want, not just what I think, That's just what I want to do. We're created. If you're a Christian, part of your goal in life is to do good in this world for others, right? And so, yes, you have a calling in that. It is to fulfill your greater purpose. And 1 John 4:10-11 says, this is the embodiment of true love. Not that we loved God first, but that he loved us and sent his unique son on a special mission to become an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So my loved ones, if God loved us so sacrificially, surely we should love one another. We're called to be givers and not takers. Our purpose is for a life of service, just the same way that Christ did for us. Sometimes that comes in serving, and sometimes that comes in providing for other people. Like in chapter 3:17-18, it says, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions. I think sometimes Christians are really good at saying, oh, love, 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 we love each other. But then we see someone in need and we're like, oh, they're lazy. They don't deserve it. Oh, they made a dumb choice. I'm not gonna help them. It does not give a distinction, does it? It just says, if you see someone in need and you show no compassion, where's the love of God in you? It doesn't ask you to make a judgment call about their life choices. It just asks you to love and to serve, regardless, right? Once we've been healed, we're called to bring healing to other people. So Peter Scazzaro, he wrote Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, and it's one of my favorite books. But he says this, I know that I'm so deeply convinced that I'm loved by Christ that I don't need to inappropriately borrow that love from someone else. That's such a great quote. I'm so convinced that I'm loved by Christ that I don't need to borrow that love. Instead, as believers, what we're supposed to do is give out that love, to share that healing we've received, to share the hope that we have in God, to extend the grace into our relationships that we received, to share the hope that he's given to us. So we know a lot about false gospels, right? And we've been sprinkling in some truth in there too. So what is the gospel? I'm just gonna just tell you simply what it is. And I'm not quoting the exact verses, but this is pretty much exactly what scripture says. So I'm just meshing it into one chunk for you. But it says, God loves you so ridiculously much that he would give anything to have a relationship with you, including giving up his own son. He literally paid the most expensive price, everything, for you because you were worth it to him. He suffered and died so that you could live. But if we accept him, if we call him Lord of our life, if we let him be Lord of our life, the God of the universe wants to be with you, to guide you, to lead you down the best paths you could ever imagine, bigger than you could ever dream, and supernaturally empower you to live victoriously. He wants to save you from living a life without him. Why wouldn't you want those things, right? He didn't just die for you, though. He died for every single person. Everyone, not just you, everyone. He wants everyone to experience that love. And once you have been freed from that former life that you've lived, once you've experienced that love, you have a mission to share that love. That's your purpose. And so that's it, for the greater good of others. That's the gospel. And if we're living anything extra than that, we're living a false gospel. So I just want to ask us, where are you at today? Have any of those false gospels taken any root into your heart? Have you tried everything this world has to offer but come up more hungry in the end? Have you tried to live your truth but you came out a little bit more confused than you were before? Have you been trying to manifest your life and coming up feeling like something is still missing? Have you tried living for yourself, but you feel more lonely and isolated than ever before? And if any of those are you, I just want to invite you to come and receive prayer. We're gonna go into a time of worship, but I want to invite you to just take a moment and just say to God, I surrender those things to you. I surrender my will over to you. I surrender my life to you. I surrender those false gospels. I surrender me doing me, whatever it is. And to align, I want to align with you, God. I want what you have for me. Purify me in that refiner's fire. So we pray for you. God, I thank you so much that you loved each of us so much that there's nothing you wouldn't do to let us know how loved we are. God, would you speak with us as we worship you? And would you change our hearts and would you heal us? Would you commission us and give us a purpose greater than we've ever imagined? In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for tuning in to this week's message at Voice Church. We hope it inspired you to live a life more faithfully for Jesus and to be a voice of hope for your community. We'd love for you to join us in person on a Sunday, and until then, we hope you have a beautiful week.